everyone, and welcome back to Unplug It. Terrific to be here again for 2020. We had a lot of fun in the latter stages of 2019, bringing you some chats with some St Kilda greats and having a look at what was a pretty tumultuous but eventful closing period to the season. It certainly is an exciting start to the 2020 year, which does get underway with the girls kicking it off for the AFLW this weekend against the Western Bulldogs, the Marsh Cup starting just a couple of weeks later. That at Moorabbin also for St Kilda, who will play Hawthorn in that match and also play Hawthorn in a bushfire charity match down in the Latrobe Valley, which a very strong St Kilda contingent down in that part of the world as well. So hopefully we get along to that. As always, thanks to Lloyd Spiegel for our brilliant intro music. You can check him out at lloydspiegel.com, www.lloydspiegel.com, to check all of that out. And you can follow those links via our socials as well. We'll have a couple of chats introducing you to some of our St Kilda AFLW girls over the next little while. Kate Sheila, one of the captains of the Saints, will join us. Comes with a lot of experience at 30 years of age. And at the other end of the age spectrum, Olivia Vesely will join us, and we'll hear from her about the build-up to her debut in the AFLW. She's been one of the stars for the Southern Saints in the VFLW. There's plenty to talk about outside of that as well. Bit of State of Origin, obviously not too far away, where the Saints will be involved. And obviously now we're counting down to round one and a really important game against North Melbourne for the boys. Darren Parkin is my name. I welcome Aaron McGrath and Nick Splitter back for another year. H, first of all, nice to have you with us again.
Happy New Year, Darren. Hopefully, as we know, year of the rat. Hopefully year of the ratten. Looking forward to getting into all of it. A couple of big weeks coming up. Get down there. Let's have a look at it and get right into the season.
Footy at Moorabbin, Nick. It's going to be nice to be sitting out in the terraces. Unfortunately, last time we were at Moorabbin, it was Danny Frawley's funeral, but it'll be nice. We're actually talking then about how good it'd be to watch some footy there, and we'll get the chance.
Yeah, very different circumstances to last time. It's nice to be back in the studio. It's been a couple of weeks.
It has.
It feels like it's been forever, but no, it's nice to have a new season to look forward to, and what better way to kick it off than footy at Moorabbin?
That's right, and groundbreaking football too. The very first time our AFLW girls will take to the park. We've always felt that they probably should have been one of the foundation teams, but our squad, which obviously can be found online, it's come together pretty well. The one theme I keep getting from people that look at the season say that St Kilda has not necessarily genuine superstar power, but a lot of X factor. They look at us as a side that's very balanced, but with a lot of players that are capable of doing anything. They talk about players that can have 5-minute bursts where they can kick two or three and go midfield forward and an unpredictable side. So it should be a lot of fun to watch.
It's got a bit of everything, this list. I think there's a lot of experience, but there's also, like you said, some X factor and some skill. Some of the young girls coming through really highly rated. But you know, ability to find your own ball, good skills, and run all day. Really kind of, you know, tough, hard at the ball girls. Looking forward to watching them.
Yeah, and Jamie Cox mentioned in the previous pod that he believed the list, he goes, they're very even. No one's going to really, really stand out. We've picked out some second-level players probably from other teams, not their big stars, but players who were getting games, players who always showed it on the field already. And then a lot of young guns from the VFLW and all the junior programs. So a lot to look forward to there.
I've also got, looking at some of the experienced players that we've brought across, Nat Exon's played a lot of football in the AFLW across its history thus far. Kate McCarthy's comes with a wealth of experience as well. The skipper that we'll hear from later, Kate Sheila, formerly playing with Carlton as well. We've seen Melissa Kies in the competition. A few interesting ones there. Nadia Von Bertok, she's from South Australia, so I'll check if it was a sister or a cousin who would have captained Australia in netball. So,
well, I think she captained the North Adelaide SANFLW team.
Well, Natalie Von Berto was a captain of Adelaide in the ANZ Championship and captained Australia by extension. So comes from a very good sporting family. So, yeah, be interesting to see how that all comes together. And we know our prized early draft selection, which is obviously Georgia Patrikios, which will be very, very interesting to see how she goes. She's certainly got a heck of a lot of talent.
Yeah, I think one of the things that came out of the draft day was Peter Searle saying that it wouldn't have mattered if we had pick one. We still would have picked Georgia Patrikios, which is massive raps for the young girl.
Certainly is. So in terms of expectations, what should we be hoping to expect? Because it sounds like anything is possible. A conference system makes it interesting. So seven teams in each conference, of which three play finals on each side. So you end up with six teams playing finals. Last year, the conferences were stacked in a lopsided fashion. So you probably had the four best teams in one conference. Carlton, in the end, sort of broke their way into that. They were pretty good by the end of the year. But North Melbourne, Adelaide, Melbourne, Fremantle were all probably the strongest sides, and they were on one side. So it's hard to know. I think our conference has got a couple of standout teams in there, but there is an opportunity for us.
It does look like it's evened out a bit more this year than actual conferences. But just competitive showing. That's all you can ask for in a first season, really. I mean, a win's a bonuses, really. Yeah. Go in there. Try to get some results, but
I'm going to rock the boat. I reckon finals. Finals are the goal, I reckon. I think that, like you said, the conference system makes things unpredictable. Mm. No one would have thought 5 weeks or 6 weeks into last year that Carlton would be playing off in finals and grand final. Because let's be honest, they weren't great. They weren't great last year. But just because of the way that the system was built and the conferences, you know, they kind of snuck in and they made it count. Mm. St Kilda's been building this list for a good 3 years. And Peter Searle's been at the head of that, along with guys like Jamie Cox and obviously some of the other footy department. But this team and this list has been built for this reason and this purpose and this season. And I think they'll be aiming definitely for finals.
So analysing our conference. So we've got Carlton, who played in the grand final, who I think will be a similar side. They lose Brianna Davey to Collingwood, so that
big
hurts
loss.
Them. Collingwood, who I think will be a lot better. They've been probably the worst team in the comp over the history of this competition, but Shani Layton's looking all right for them in the ruck, and they've recruited pretty well. Fremantle may be the best side in the competition, potentially.
Possibly.
Melbourne are always experienced, but have underachieved to a degree. West Coast, who are also new like us, and the Western Bulldogs, obviously, who we play this week, who are probably in a little bit of transition, pretty quick side, not a bad side.
Lost a lot of players.
Yeah, they did, but not a bad side, so there are some opportunities in that group. I would think that Fremantle are probably our biggest problem in that conference. But
who we play in Perth, I believe. So,
that's right. Yeah. So, but the rest of it seems okay. There's usually the odd cross-conference game in there too. So I think we play a cross-conference game. Is it Richmond?
Yeah, pretty sure we
Richmond
play Richmond
at Punt Road, I think. Yep. Yeah, that's our. That may well be our cross-conference game. So. And the other side, obviously, Adelaide, Brisbane, Geelong, Gold Coast, GWS, North, and Richmond. That is
a really strong conference.
I just fixed it up. It's actually West Coast. We have Over in Perth, but Freo here,
okay. Yeah. Freo at Moorabbin.
Yep.
There you go. Hostile for the Dockers. It'll give us a reasonable chance. So just some details also on the game. We encourage everybody to head along. A couple of things around that. So it's at RSEA Park, and we know there's a lot of rail works going along around the area. So the club wants to advise that buses are replacing trains between Frankston and Moorabbin. So if you're coming the other direction from the city, maybe not so bad, but from Frankston to Moorabbin, maybe a little bit of an issue. There is parking in the area, as most people that have used to go to Moorabbin would know, but it's in the surrounding streets, not so much.
Residential areas.
Yeah, so have a look at that. You could chance your luck in the Woolworths car park if you wanted to. Roll the dice that the ticket inspectors aren't around. But and we've got the special edition record available this week with the headline "Together We Rise." That's available on our socials as well. You can get that for $10, which talks about the history of St Kilda leading up to this point. The cover's got Trevor Barker, Tony Lockett,
Darryl Baldock,
Jack Billings from the modern era on the front as well, and obviously leading into our AFLW transition. So that's something that's...
I think that's Georgia Patrikios.
Georgia Patrikios, yeah, that's right. So that is something that we very much look forward to. And as a reminder, that there'll be kids' activities and jumping castles and the like. So, and buy a membership, saintsmembership.com.au, where our numbers are tracking pretty well, H, I think, overall.
Overall, around about the 38,000 mark, yeah.
Which is very good to see. So a couple other things worth talking about before we jump into some of our listener questions as well. One of our own, we can say. Jared Ruffhead is an AFL Life member.
He looks good in the red, white and black, doesn't he?
He does. Mm.
Suits him.
How was his pass the other day?
Yeah, it was a good peg.
The quarterback throw, that was a very good hit on Ben McLean, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. A bit harder with an AFL footballer to do too as well. So.
Oh, yeah. But
Just quietly, Ben McLean ran a pretty good route around the boundary line there, so it was impressive.
Looking pretty good. Of course, Benny McLean will coach Sandringham this year, which is a nice little transition for him into that role. But looks to be a pretty happy club at the moment. Obviously, you've got to go and turn that into results on the field for the guys, but signs are pretty good for Max King. We saw Dougal Howard taking an absolute hanger at training the other week. Dan Hannabury's on track to play our first Marsh Cup game. So, touch wood, so far the signs are good. Generally, the only news you get at this time of year is bad news, and we haven't had any of that. So.
No, but seeing them all happy running around and having fun, that sort of thing, that's the first thing you want to see. If they're all turning up going, oh, we're training, that sort of thing. Mm. But they all look happy as a group, and just they seem to want to get into it now too.
It certainly feels like the most positive kind of preseason that we've had for a number of years. It's funny, we had Chris Tochi on the podcast in the last episode of 2019, and he was saying that he still can't watch training when Max King's out there because he gets so nervous. But you know, everyone we talk to, Max King is flying and you know, showing the boys who have been in the system for a long time, showing them how to play the game, and he's showing them up on the track as well. So it's pretty impressive.
We saw the return of the hot cross bun jumper on the training track too.
I was going to mention that.
With the yellow peril.
That's terrific. Yeah, I mean,
no pure milk on the front.
No.
Actually, an underrated jumper. We wore it in a grand final in 97.
Yeah, the hot cross bun, yeah.
I like it. I think most of us have got one at home somewhere.
Yeah, a couple, I think. Yep.
Is that? That's not going to be a... We're going to use that at some stage as a...
No, it's a training
top.
Yeah, we should certainly be introducing that as a... Put some white on it as a base or whatever and make that a class jumper.
Yeah, I agree. It's one of my favourite jumpers.
Yeah, terrific. It's great to see it back. I was talking about it with someone the other day and then St Kilda showed up in it the next day. So this is fantastic. before we have a chat to a couple of our AFLW girls, can't help but feel that how important round one is going to be for the men's side. So after they play North Melbourne, we've got Richmond at Marvel and then West Coast at Marvel. So potentially the two best teams in the AFL immediately after that North game. So we're going to want to hit the ground running and be in reasonable shape going into that fortnight. It looks like the Danny Frawley tribute game will be that round two match. I think it's West Coast actually in round two and then Richmond in round three.
Yeah, it's going to be really important to get off to a good start. Both those teams, Richmond and West Coast, have had the wood on us for a couple of years. But this is going to be a very different St Kilda Footy Club.
Yeah, I think West Coast at Marvel could be a game that we could...
Early in the
especially
season.
With the emotion of the occasion.
Early in the season.
Yeah.
We hopefully can go into the Richmond game 2-0.
That'd be fantastic,
really.
We were hopeless against West Coast last year, and they beat us by, what, 13
points? Not much,
points? Something like that. So
nothing went our way that day.
Nah.
And we played pretty well in the first half against Richmond too.
Yeah, we were four goals up just before half time. Yeah.
Well, three quarters basically, and then that was it.
Mm. Got to beat North though.
Have to start well, and they'll look at it the same because I think they play Brisbane at the Gabba in round two. So big opportunity for both of those sides in a similar position. Well, we are going to introduce you to a couple of our AFLW girls now. We're going to start with the skipper.
The AFLW players get to inspire and ignite the Bayside community and create a place whereby a new generation will find a new place and sense of belonging. When you watch this team, you'll feel the emotion, you'll feel the hard work and sacrifice that they all have made, but you'll also feel the joy when they play football true to themselves. You can be a club that's been in existence for 100 years, or you can be a new team. Every team, every club, faces challenges. But the support from this room is important to the playing group. And we acknowledge the role that the loved ones have played and will continue to play. And that is why we've invited the loved ones here to present the jumpers to their players. Some have come from interstate and given up their lives. Some put studies on hold and reduced financial situations, all to play the game that they love. We are proud, we are one, we are relentless, we are ourselves. Play to your strengths, believe in yourself, look to grow, have fun and play footy because you love it and you love wearing the red, white and black. Let's own it in 2020. Thank you.
Well, as we mentioned, the countdown is on to Sunday, the launch of St Kilda's inaugural AFLW team, first season, and Moorabbin, a bit of a throwback to the olden days. He'll take on the Western Bulldogs, ironically coached by a former club legend in Nathan Burke, who will make his coaching debut at his old home ground of Moorabbin. So a fair bit of significance around that. Kate Shielor has been given the opportunity to captain St Kilda on their debut, a historic moment for her. She will wear the number 12, which is obviously a famous number amongst skippers of the Saints. Kate, thanks for joining us and congratulations on that honour.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
And I guess we saw Nick Riewoldt do a bit of a promotional video during the week about the game as well. And I'm sure you don't need reminding of the significance of captaining St Kilda in the number 12.
Yeah, he actually came down to training, was it the other night, and sort of gave a few nice words to the group. And yeah, just the significance of the women having a team at St Kilda and how much that means to the whole club. So that was pretty special.
Kate, Nick Splitter here. Thanks for joining us on the show. 15 games last year in the VFLW for the Southern Saints. Obviously, you had a pretty good year leading to signing with the St Kilda women's team. What was it like after 2 years out? Obviously, you played for Carlton in the first couple of years of Carlton's time in the AFLW. What's it like being back in the big show? And you kind of, has it made you hungrier having that year out?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it was pretty devastating to be delisted from Carlton. Like, I had really enjoyed my time there. But when you get told that you're not wanted, it's kind of a bit of that rejection feeling, and it's not great. But then I felt sorry for myself for a little while, and then I sort of reflected on what I needed to get better at and what would help me get back to the top level. And I still believed that I could perform at that level. So I guess that drove me. And I was lucky enough to join Pete and the Saints in VFL, and that's just helped my footy massively. So I'm feeling confident coming into the season, but yeah, we'll just keep working hard and see how we go.
Yeah, as you mentioned, you've been there at Carlton the first year of the competition. How's the comparison between the two teams in the startup? Obviously, Carlton's the first year, and this St Kilda's now coming in as a new team. Can you feel much difference, or is it similar feeling, or how is it all?
Yeah, I guess St Kilda have had 3 years to kind of look at what's worked and what hasn't worked, get a lot of feedback from girls from various clubs, and I think it's been pretty seamless so far. I mean, Carlton had nothing to go off of, so it's always going to be difficult that first year, I think, and they did get some things wrong, but they were always open to feedback, and I think their program's pretty strong now. So yeah, I'd say there's a few differences, but it's mainly, I think, just experience and being able to learn from other clubs.
We saw last year Geelong, who had a group that stayed together in the VFLW, come into the competition with much the same players, but a couple of recruits from other clubs, ended up playing in the grand final. Admittedly, they came from a conference that was maybe slightly weaker, but St Kilda looks similar in that you compare us to, say, Richmond, who have gone and recruited a lot of big-name players like Katie Brennan. We've had a group that stayed together for quite some time. Do you feel that is going to be an advantage with so many new sides in, that you all know each other pretty well?
Yeah, I really hope so. I think the pre-season in AFLW is really short at the moment, so we only start end of November, and to just chuck a whole 30 group of girls that don't know each other in that short time is pretty difficult to get to know each other and gel and play well together. So I think we do have that advantage, so hopefully We know the game plan that Pete wants to play. I mean, there's been a few adjustments because VFL and AFL is different, but it's all very fairly similar, and the girls are very comfortable with each other. So it's just been about getting the new young kids and the other recruits in and just making them feel as comfortable as possible.
And Kate, how have those new guys come and settled into the group? Obviously, you know, girls like Nat Exon and the draftees and that sort of stuff. How have they kind of assimilated into the group that was, you know, as Darren said, and as you've already said, that kind of had that bond already from last year in the VFL?
Yeah, amazing, to be honest. Nat Exon's one of the most chilled characters you'll ever meet, so she doesn't have any problems fitting in, and the young kids have slotted in. And then a couple of the interstate girls have also been seamless in their transition. So we haven't really felt like that they haven't been part of the VFL program. You kind of don't remember who wasn't part of the VFL, which is really, really great.
Now, every report you hear from everyone during the off seasons and everything is every player's flying and everyone's firing on the track. Who are the ones who have shown on the track that they're going to be the ones to watch? They're going to be the ones who are going to lead this team to wins and hopefully success?
Yeah, well, I guess you've got your normal ones like in at Exxon's, but I guess one of my good friends, Tilly Lucas-Rod, I think she's come from Carlton as well, and she's been put in the back line, and I think she's much more comfortable there, and she's playing her best footy down there. So she's one to watch. I think Adelaide girl Hannah Priest, she's competitive beast, also in the back line, so she's one to watch. I'd probably Georgia Patrikios, the young gun that we picked up, is just a natural footballer and pretty special with some of the stuff she can do. And probably the other one, without naming the whole team, Rosie Dillon. She's just a footy brain, very smart footballer, and she's an inside mid, so she can do some special stuff as well.
Tapping into Peter Searle as well, who's been with the group for a while, was an assistant with the men's team and then obviously took on the VFLW program and has been nurturing a lot of you. In terms of how you found her, you spoke about the influence she's had, but obviously having her the whole way through and what some of her strengths are.
Yeah, she's an incredible football brain, so I try and pick her brains as much as possible, and I feel like she's helped my footy a lot. I guess she sits down and goes through vision with every single player every week, and just helps. It's in constructive feedback around positioning and, you know, that sort of stuff. She's just there's so much knowledge to tap into. So that's probably the main thing.
Kate, we saw some vision about a week or so ago from the practice match of Kate McCarthy flying down the wing. Without giving too much away around the game plan and that sort of stuff, but how will Kate McCarthy be used? Is she going to play, you know, majority of game time up the ground, or have they considered putting her deep in forward line, kind of playing out of the square, I guess, like a Charlie Cameron has in the AFL?
Yeah, she's one that's really impressed me as well. Because in her time at Brisbane, she showed glimpses of just magic. But I think she's been really consistent at Saints, and Pete's obviously helped her a lot with her footy as well. So I'm really excited about what she's going to do. I think you'll see her all over the ground. Her fitness has probably improved as well, because she's just so fast. Her top speed with the GPS is just incredible. So if she gets goal side, then yeah, it's pretty ominous for the opposition, I would have thought.
Final one for me before we play that. Now, there's a little game they do in the Football Record every week, which is a Football Record pocket profile. So we might throw a few of those sort of rapid fires at you in a minute. But the Moorabbin factor, for those of us that are sort of our age here hosting, we have very slim memories of games at Moorabbin. I only have the vaguest of memories there. And as supporters, we're extremely looking forward to being able to watch St Kilda play at Moorabbin, the AFLW, and then the practice match in the JLT for the men a couple of weeks later. In terms of capturing that experience, I mean, the club being back at Moorabbin is terrific. How significant is that for all of you to I guess, get that appreciation to be playing at the spiritual home, which we haven't done for so long?
Yeah, I guess I'm the same, and most of the group is the same. We're probably too young to really appreciate it. And I wasn't a St Kilda supporter growing up, so it's a bit harder for me. But the stories that I've heard, particularly from Pete and others around the club, it really does mean so much. So that rubs off on all the girls. And we don't take lightly the opportunity that we've got for the club and for the group of us. So it's pretty special. And I think Sunday might be a very emotional day for a lot of people.
I think so. So time for a bit of a Footy Record pocket profile. So we'll throw a few of these questions at you, so our fans can sort of get to know you a little bit behind footy. Any pre-game superstitions? We hear about players that always tie my left boot first, or always sit right here or do that. Are there any things that you have to do, say, in the morning routines and things like that before a game?
My main ones are just the same undies and sports bra every time. And the last thing I do before I leave the house is brush my teeth. So that has to be the last thing. Other than that, everything's pretty chilled.
Kate, what do you do to relax outside of footy?
Play with and walk my golden retriever puppy. So he keeps me fairly busy.
What's his name?
Archie.
Beautiful.
Pretty good. obviously, they're all pretty new, but have you got a teammate who either one you like hanging around the most, or who is the most annoying?
Tilly Lucas-Rod would be the most annoying, but also loves spending time with her, so good and bad.
Yep.
Favourite movie / TV show, so if it's Netflix or whatever it may be?
I'm a sucker for Coach Carter or any sports inspo movies, so it's a bit lame, but yeah, I could watch them over and over.
Who's your favourite band or musician?
The Killers.
Like it.
This pre-game meal, what's something that you eat that you'll eat before a match or the night before you play?
Just lots of carbs, so spaghetti bolognese or stir fry with lots of rice in it or something like that. Nothing superstitious.
No fish and chips, Kevin Bartlett style. Kate, good luck on Sunday when it all gets underway. You'll have a legion of supporters behind you. It's terrific that St Kilda, who have been one of the pioneers in women's football, get this recognition, this opportunity on Sunday. So go well and hopefully a big start.
Thank you so much. Hope to see lots of people down there on the weekend. Thank you.
Hey guys, Rui here down at RSEA Park. Can't wait to see this place full of red, white and black on Sunday at 3:10 as we take on the Western Bulldogs. First game in history for the St Kilda AFL women's side. It's free entry, so see you all here on Sunday.
We're excited now to catch up with Olivia Vesely, one of the more exciting prospects we've got coming through the St Kilda AFLW side. Played 15 games, averaging 17.5 disposals, 4 tackles and a couple of marks per game with the Southern Saints through what was a very good VFLW season for the St Kilda girls. She won the VFLW Rising Star Award, which is a Debbie Lee medalist. She was inducted into the AFL Hall of Fame, Debbie Lee, just this week. In fact, the AFL Life membership, rather, she was granted just this week, and she was in the VFLW Team of the Year and won the Sandringham Best and Fairest back in a couple of years ago. Olivia, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
We had a little bit of a chat off air, but what's the overriding emotion ahead of Sunday? Excitement, nerves, almost trying to get it to hurry along, almost impatient a little bit. What's the main emotion?
Oh, I think definitely nerves. Nerves and excitement. A lot of excitement and nerves, and probably, I'm trying to stay pretty calm, I guess. I don't know. I'm like trying to, take it all in before Sunday, because I think Sunday will be crazy quick, and yeah, I'm very excited.
We'll start a little bit with yourself. What was your background in football? Did you play all throughout juniors? Did you have family members who played as well? Anyone who got you into football? Who did you look up to? What is your football background?
I started probably at school, just playing in the schoolyard, and then I played under 11s at East Melbourne Knights, and I actually stopped after one season, and because my mum and dad weren't so keen on me playing with the boys, so I just ended up playing at Melbourne Primary, and I had a great teacher there, a couple of teachers actually, and they kept, we had a great girls team, and we actually won the state championship in year 5 and 6. And then I didn't play throughout high school until year 10 or year 11, actually, when I went to a talent search, and I just got picked up at the talent search by Damien Keeping and Shiloh Curtis. And then I luckily got into the state team. I don't really know how. And then played my fifth like proper game of footy on the MCG, which was pretty awesome. Very, very grateful for that experience. And then went back and started playing Sandy again. That's pretty much it. And then just got into the VFL.
Liv, obviously you had a pretty stellar season with the Southern Saints in 2019 and Sandringham before that. How have you found the step up from VFL to AFL level? And being with the same group, have you noticed much of a change?
Oh, the step up from VFL to AFL has been... it hasn't been too great, I think. We were very lucky in the fact that we had such a great VFLW program and a really awesome bunch of girls that built up like most of the list. Pete also made sure that everyone was pretty much on the same page, as like we all were working towards the goal of AFL. Even if we didn't get picked for the AFL side, that was the standard that was set. I think going to the AFL, obviously the step up's been pretty big, and I've noticed the training and everything's been much more elite, and there's been a lot of girls that have been driving like that, those standards, like, you know, Kate McCarthy, Nat Exon, a lot of the girls that have played AFL already. But I think the fun, I've just had so much fun, and the list has changed a tiny bit from VFL, but a lot of the girls stayed, which made it also quite easy to, I guess, continue building our structures and skills.
You mentioned the list and the fact that it hasn't changed too much. It feels like the club as a whole, but I think the midfield particularly has really been built to compete from day one. You know, big bodies, strong, you know, tackle, how to find the footy. Girls like Ali Drennan, Nat Exon, AFLW experience, even some of the mature ages that the club's brought in from Adelaide and such. How do you feel about the, obviously it's exciting, but the striving for greatness, I guess, from day one? How does that sitting with the club at the moment?
Oh, it's so insane. I can't get over how much everyone has really valued those goals. I think more so like as you said, I think the midfield obviously has been Pete's, like, she's put a lot of work into us, but I think the whole list is really deep and we all push each other. And yeah, the Adelaide girls that have come over have been, they've been like, even without, none of them have played AFL, but they've been so insane in helping us all, pushing us all. Ali Drennan has, you know what she's like, she chats a lot and is probably one of the hardest working on the team and deserves so much. So those people have really driven standards and I think made us as a group a lot closer. And I think the fact that, you know, there's not a lot of us that have played AFLW, so we're all trying to be the best we possibly can be and almost prove a couple of people wrong in like preconceived ideas that they have on us as a team, just because we don't have any like huge names. It's so exciting and I'm really grateful to be a part of like such an awesome group.
Step one in that journey is to try to beat the Western Bulldogs on Sunday, coached by a former St Kilda legend in Nathan Burke. But they won the first premiership in this competition. They've lost Katie Brennan in the off-season across to Richmond. I believe they're the shortest team in the competition across the board, so that would expect that they're probably going to run a bit and that would probably give an insight into the way they play. But what are you expecting from them and I guess how much analysis have you done into, I guess, what it's going to take to knock them off?
Yeah, I think they're a really, as you put it, well-seasoned side, and I think it's going to take a lot to knock them off. But I think Pete put a lot of focus on us and our structures have been really strong building over the past summer. And we all have a lot of faith in her and what she's put to us as a group and how we, as a team, how the backs and the mids and the forwards work together. I think that's going to be the key to getting on the scoreboard and having a good game against them. Obviously, they're going to be quick, as you said. I didn't even know that they were the shortest in the league, but yeah, they're definitely, we've been told they're going to be quick, but I think we've got a lot of pace and we also have a lot of height, so I think that will work to our advantage. We haven't really focused too much on them, I have to say. I don't feel like I know a huge amount of them or like how they play. I think it's been really good to have the coaches talk about, you know, our game plan and the fact that we've trained really hard and can put up a good fight. I think that's really positive and exciting.
Now, has anyone come in and spoken to you about the history of the club and what it means to be playing with the colours and Moorabbin as a venue? And has anyone really gone to the depth of that as what it really all means?
Yes, definitely. I think, well, for start, I think Pete has told us many stories about how she grew up and went down to Linton Street and was on the shoulders of many of the players and how significant this weekend will be. But we had Rui come in last night and just him coming in and speaking to us about how much he values it as well puts a lot of, not pressure on us, but I guess it makes it feel real and it makes it feel, just really significant and a very big milestone for the club. I think even the boys have, and Rats especially, have gotten around us and had really quite a few conversations about it being, you know, a moment in history that the whole club can be proud of, not just us as the AFLW side, but the men and all the staff. And I think, yeah, I'm very excited for the ground to be ready and be able to play on.
And just to reiterate for everybody, so it's 3:10 p.m. on Sunday against the Western Bulldogs at Moorabbin. Entry is free for all members and fans, but obviously we encourage you to sign up as a member. You will get in free as a supporter on the day. So the St Kilda AFLW home games, non-ticketed events. There'll be plenty of things there as well. So food truck alley, face painting and photo booths, Zupa Dupa giant water slides, kid zones with inflatable activities. There'll be giveaways for kids and adults as well. There's a few other ways you can watch it at the lawn and various other things as well. And you can pick up the commemorative footy record. We've got the cover of that on our social medias as well, which is basically commemorating the significant step for the football club. And it's uniting a lot of our past heroes. So on the cover, you've got guys like Tony Lockett and like that, obviously moving into this modern era, which is very exciting. Olivia, before we let you go, we're going to play a little bit of the footy record pocket profile as we introduce you to a lot of fans. And I get the feeling from the conversation that a lot of our supporters are going to have a bit of fun watching you play over the next few years. But who's your favourite athlete of all time? Anyone who's ever spoken to me knows that I love Roger Federer, but who's your favourite athlete of all time?
Oh, that's a tough one. I'd have to say, I would have said Roger Federer as well, but I'll go with like Caroline Wozniacki.
Not bad. Like it.
Yeah, I think that's
Liv, what's your biggest fear?
Oh, my biggest fear. I hate deep, like really deep water, the like bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, that's pretty scary.
Out of space.
Yeah, no, that's pretty scary. Fair call.
Now, I asked you earlier about you growing up and that. Who'd you barrack for growing up?
I barrack for the D's.
There you go. There's a few XDs playing for us this year as well. But another one from me. Further to that, your favourite athlete. Who's the most famous person you've actually met?
Oh, well, I was actually a ball kid at the Australian Open. So I ball kid for Roger Federer. So I'd have to go.
Right at the top of the tree.
I haven't really met him, but I've held him.
Been close enough.
I was sure you were going to say Nick Riewoldt.
That counts.
Is there a favourite band or a pump-up song that you listen to before a game to get you hyped?
Actually, more recently, I love Purple Hat, the song. But I probably love Florence and the Machine, Dog Days.
Can you give us a few bars of Purple Hat? Because I'm not sure I've heard that one.
No, definitely not. I cannot. I got stitched up last time to sing a song, and I'm not doing it again.
And obviously all new teammates, but who's your favourite teammate down the club?
Oh, I don't have a favourite. If I give a favourite, I will have...
They're not listening, come on.
Well, who's the most annoying then?
Oh, the most annoying... Probably Tilly Lucas Rod.
Well, that's two.
That's two. Two. We're going to have to obviously check that over the journey, but... I think we've got a bit of it there. Liv, thank you very much for joining us. All the very best of luck for Sunday. We certainly wish you well, and we encourage all Saints fans to get along.
Thanks so much, guys. Thanks for the chat. It's been awesome. Oh, no. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Liv. Olivia Vesely joining us there, and yeah, I think I'm old. That I've gone well past music like that, I would say. Never heard that ever before, but probably says more about me than it does about Liv, I would think. Going to finish with some social media questions coming through from our listeners, and you can send some through to us. You can email us unplugged@gmail.com, and you can get in touch with us via our socials as well, facebook.com/unplugged, twitter.com/unplugged, and Unplugged Podcast on Instagram. You can catch this podcast at iTunes, Wooshka, Facebook, wherever you listen to podcasts, you can find it. Our first question was from Shay Williams saying, will you be covering AFLW? And the answer, Shay, is yes.
Yeah, I think we can pretty confidently say yes to that one.
We can. What else have we got on the questions?
Jordan Pierce is potentially jumping the gun a little bit early, but he's asked, who will be the opponent that we beat in the grand final?
Men's or women's? Or both?
Take your pick.
Gold Coast?
Well, the women will beat Fremantle in the grand final because I've declared them the best team, and the men will beat Richmond.
Ooh.
So, there we go. Any challenges on those?
No, I don't.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
And I got Heath Morgan asking about the DS sponsors logo replacing the manufacturer's logo. I had actually noticed that, and I thought, actually, that's brilliant. Watch Collingwood do it next.
And then claim they're the first.
Yeah.
It's one of those weird ones. When I first saw it, I didn't like it, but it's grown on me. Mm. It's grown on me over the last couple of weeks, and I don't mind it now.
Wayne Burgess says, who's burning up the training track and who isn't? Not sure about who isn't, but Dan Butler's apparently training the house down. That's one that's been super impressive, apparently. Of the new recruits, Brad Hill's ball use has stood out like proverbial. So that's one to, or a couple to probably look out for. Have we got anyone that hasn't quite hit the track yet? I think most of them are okay.
Robbo's back.
Yeah, he's back. Yeah, Carlisle's back. Howard's moving better than obviously did in the time trial.
Yeah, I don't struggle to beat out there.
I think most have returned, it sounds like.
Yeah, but I think in terms of who's training well, Dan Butler's been one that we keep hearing pretty good things about.
Brad Hill looks pretty good on the track as well.
Seen a few slotting that one from the boundary the other day.
Yeah. Got another question from Michael Laurie. I'm not really sure why you wrote this one into us, but what's the capital of Venezuela?
I don't know.
Boys, no?
Caracas?
It is Caracas. Yeah. It is Caracas. There you go, Michael.
Caracas.
Yes.
Okay. thought that was the name of a yearling sale.
Russ Barclay, will there be a captaincy change? If so, who would be the front runners? I don't think there would be.
Nah,
I can't see.
Unless he steps aside for some reason or injury or something like that, I don't think there'd be anything this year.
And it'd probably go to Seb Ross.
If it was this year, it would be Seb Ross. I reckon Jack Steele.
Yeah,
might be up there.
I think he's potentially a year down the track.
Yeah, 100%. Jan says, read the China game is suggesting that we play Port in Darwin the week before the Gold Coast game. We could set up base there for a couple of weeks, get used to the environment and do some massive good for the community with camps, etc. I guess that's all hinging on the coronavirus and whether you are allowed to go in and out of China. The AFL have said that they won't rush that decision. They've still got a few months, but I'm sure it depends how long it sticks around for, but they'll talk to us, they'll talk to Port. They mentioned that we have the bye the following week. So the week of that game, Marvel and the MCG are occupied on both days. Mm. So unless we played on a Thursday or a Monday or just played the following week and had our bye that week.
Change our bye week.
Instead. Yeah. But then you wouldn't want to play going into the game wherever we play Cairns on the play Gold Coast on the moon or wherever we play them.
Well,
the following week.
It could mean it could be in Melbourne if it's another week and then it's just our home game and then a regular away game. So it wouldn't hurt too much, really.
Yeah, it's our home game, so better not put it in Adelaide. But they'll try.
They will try.
Yeah. Go away, Koshy.
Any others to finish on there?
Last one from Robbie Gregory. Top eight this year, boys. Predictions?
Well, I just said we're going to beat the Gold Coast. Isn't
I think realistically, just in or just out, I'd imagine we'd win between 10 and 12 games and finish 7th to 10th.
Yeah, that mid-tier is probably right about the mark.
I think we'd have to be pretty happy with a 10-plus win season.
Yep. And one that I'll throw in there to finish, with the State of Origin a couple of weeks away and with Max Gawn injured, is Rowan Marshall logically Victoria's ruckman?
I think he has to be.
Probably, nice little bit of early practice against Grundy, I assume.
Yeah.
So,
What do you guys think about the elite players suiting up for?
So it's three per club, isn't it?
Yeah, maximum.
That's the cap.
Yeah. Yep.
And but that is that for both Victoria and the Allies, or three
no,
in
between
total?
Them.
Okay. So
it's 54 players possibly named.
So assuming Marshall plays, I'm just trying to think who else is eligible, and they're mostly Victorians, aren't they? So Jack Billings.
There'll be an interstate somewhere.
Well, Dylan Robinson's a Western Australian, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I wouldn't think he'd be playing State of Origin, but Gresham potentially,
yeah.
But I'd say the majority of our players in contention would be in the Victorian team.
Yeah, I think a lot of fans as well are not happy about the idea of your best players going off and playing for representative teams.
Which is why it'll never work. Yeah.
I love it too.
Yeah.
Watch it turn into a bit of a all-star game, though. Yeah. Like, not much defense.
Yeah, no defense, no tackle.
Just kicking goals from 60 out.
Yeah, glorified AFLX. But a reminder also about that practice match against Hawthorne, which was not initially scheduled. So we play him in the Marsh, and then we play him in the Latrobe Valley, where sort of H&I's old territory. So we'll take them on in Morwell, which is a terrific sporting ground down there. But the AFLW season gets underway this Sunday against the Western Bulldogs at RSEA Park at 3:10. So go along and support the girls, and then the Marsh Cup just a couple of weeks later. We'll continue to bring you coverage throughout the AFLW and as we draw closer to the start of the men's season as well. Guys, thank you.
No worries.